Pastor Jeff reveals what purpose the law serves in bringing us to Jesus Christ. That's on today's edition of Sound Doctrine, coming up next.
Now, the law was important because we wouldn't know we were sinners without the law. But the law came, the Big Ten. And that was raised up because God wanted us to know we can't do it. We can't be obedient enough. We need a redeemer. We need a savior. And then we can do it in his grace and in his mercy.
Discerning the thoughts and the intents of my heart, Lord, give me understanding. Open your word unto life, the cure of need. I know you've got plans for me.
The Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And when the religious leaders of the book of Acts, who followed the letter of the law, came into contact with the church that was birthed by the Holy Spirit, there was conflict. Today, Pastor Jeff shows how Stephen was giving those religious leaders a history lesson of Abraham receiving God's promise by faith and not the law, and how we need to continue to walk by faith in Jesus and not our own works. With more on our study titled Resisting Change Part 3, let's join Pastor Jeff in Acts chapter 7.
Plans to improve, correct my soul. Plans to transform, make me whole. Lord, your word is truth, give me understanding.
Well, we're in a very interesting section here in Acts chapter 7 tonight, talking about resisting change, talking about God's anointing. This is kind of part two, and then next week we're going to finish it, part three. And it's just incredible as God has raised the church up to a point where those guys that were serving tables are now preaching the gospel. I mean, God, you know, he's faithful, and he causes you, if you really want to serve him, you take the little that he gives you and you be faithful to that, he'll give you more and more and more. He'll just move you along. He's like a father that's looking at his young kid and growing and being used, and he just wants you to flourish. He just wants you to just bask in his gifts and his power and what he wants to do through your life. So Stephen, he's moving out, and God is just going to do an incredible thing as we get into this chapter. And it is a chapter of the Old Testament, and the Spirit of God is going to use him, anoint him, to bring forth in a spiritual way and to actually serve it up to us tonight in the Old Testament and those types and shadows, and unveil it and blow the people's mind who are listening to Stephen in a big way. So we've been introduced to this chapter as the ultimate chapter about change and how so many resist that change. It's the longest sermon in Acts. There's no longer one. I mean, he's really full of the vigor. And here we have the gospel from the Old Testament. Over in Hebrews 1, you might want to mark that down. In Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers matters, in different ways, he spoke in times past, Old Testament, unto the fathers by the prophets. See, God spoke through prophecy. And they'd write down the prophecy. There's so many, over 400 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. God's word coming forth through promises of a coming Messiah, one after the other. Now, he says in verse 2, hath in these last days, though, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And then it says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, God incarnate. And so you get from the Old Testament the promises, and then you get the answers in the New Testament. And it just begins to open up. The prophecies begin to get known. And I mean, we're talking about so many in the Old Testament. and it's been revealed, and it's a work of the Spirit. Here is God's good news about the seed of victory. And that seed started way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve. If you remember, God covering them up with animal skins, shed blood. It started there, and the red line goes all the way through to the book of Revelation. So as Stephen confronts man's reluctance, because man wants to hold on to things and to religion, their resistance to God's way of salvation. This amazing history lesson reveals how the Old Testament shadows and types all point not to a place, not to a temple, and not really to a procedure. And you know, we always want, okay, what do I need to do? You know, did you tell me what to do? I'll do it, and then I'll say, okay, I did it. No. It's not. It has nothing to do with the law. Now, the law was important, because we wouldn't know we were sinners without the law. But the law came, the Big Ten. And that was raised up because God wanted us to know we can't do it. We can't be obedient enough. We need a redeemer. We need a savior. And then we can do it in his grace and in his mercy. So, remember in Psalms, there's that one little verse that says, in the volume of the book, it is written about Jesus. You see, all throughout, it's Jesus. This book is all about the plan that they had in the very beginning when the Holy Spirit was hanging out. They were all three together, and they were all discussing what God was going to do. Let us make man in our image. And it began. So he's the new covenant, Jesus. He's the New Testament. And this is God's order, his new order. It's a new relationship that man can have now with God. It's a relationship. It is not religion. It has nothing to do with the temple. Nothing to do with the law. But those were types. Those were shadows. And so God, through his Son, is bringing the change that man has been looking for, that man has been searching for. Yet we're not too good as searchers. You know, we bounce around and we go, you know, I'll try this and I'll try that. But you know what? When it just gets, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired with what you're doing in the world, and it's just not working. God knew that we would peter out. We would just boom. We would lose steam, because this world is no satisfaction. It doesn't bring anything. What Jesus can bring. And that is a new slate on life. That's a new beginning, you know. Everything else is past. Behold, all things become new. And you're a new creation in Christ. He's actually created in you something new. And he gave you a new heart and a spirit, his spirit, to quicken your dead spirit to be able to have this living relationship and this change. If we will only believe, remember that scripture over in John in chapter 3, verse 36, he says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. And that means right now. And he that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him or on him. You either wrestle with God through your life, or you make your peace. You can make your peace tonight. I just want to be at peace with God. I want to get real. I want to have a relationship. So that's very important. Now we need to believe. Stephen is the chosen vessel by God to bring this incredible life-changing message so we can look at it tonight. So we can go through it tonight. And hear what they're hearing. All those who live godly, and we know this is a promise from God, will suffer what? Persecution. Well, we're going to see that. And, you know, Stephen was doing his best at what God called him to do. And he spoke from the heart. Now, over in Matthew 10, I shared this last week. I'm going to share it one more time real quick. In verse 16 of Matthew 10, behold, I send you forth, Jesus said, as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. They'll beat you, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So this is what's going on here in Acts now. Persecution is coming down. You know, it's interesting. The Bible talks about how we just don't want to move sometimes. We just don't want to do what he's asking us to do. And my wife was sharing a little thing about, she was reading the Daily Bread thing, you know, and she goes, look at this. And it was talking about that in Genesis, in the very beginning, God gave us a mandate. He said, be fruitful and multiply, right? And so man says, no, I'm going to build Babel. We're going to hang around. We're going to be one people. We're going to be one thing. We're going to hang here. We're not going anywhere. Okay. What did God do with that? Made them go babble, right? And they lost their language, and everybody was speaking a different language, and they scattered like the sheep, right? So, you know, it's interesting that when you go to the New Testament now, you come to this situation where everybody in Jerusalem's hanging out, having potlucks. They're enjoying what the Lord's doing in their lives, and there's thousands of them getting saved, and they just won't leave Jerusalem. But wait a minute, didn't God give us a second mandate? What is that? Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. And they go, well, but we like the potlucks, and we like hanging out and be with our brothers and sisters. We don't want to go out there. There's a world out there. Okay, what happened? Well, we're going to see in a couple weeks that God just brought persecution heavy down on the church, and to where they had to scatter like the sheep. It seems like God's will be done one way or another. And his promises will be fulfilled no matter how stubborn we are. That's okay, because he's going to have his way. So here we are, Acts chapter 7. And then said the high priest, are these things so? And you go, Jeff, we already did that verse. Yeah, that was the one verse we did last week. And this is Caiaphas. This is the high priest. Now you're messing with the guy that's at the top of the rung of the religion of the day. And what is he saying? Are these things so? Well, look at verse 11 in chapter 6. It says, then these bribed men, the suborned men, bribed men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemy against Moses and against God. And they were liars. And then verse 13, and they set up false witnesses. And they said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. So he's turning against Moses. Oh, not Moses. That's who they worshiped. Oh, this is good. Oh, and what the temple. He's coming against the law and the temple. Most precious thing. Actually, it has become their God, if you will, as we're going to see here. So we start out with verse 2, and notice this. Then and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. So Caiaphas asked the question, so now he's just moving on, and he's going to move right into the answer. I want you to know, guys, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. So he's got their ears, because their father in the faith is Abraham. When he was in Mesopotamia, so that's interesting. He was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. Abraham was just out there with the pagans before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show you. So, boom, Abraham's kind of learning that God is not an idol. There's an old tradition that Abraham's dad was an idol maker, and he had an idol shop, and that there's one day where Abraham went in there and he just started to get all upset at the whole thing, and he went out at night, and he looked up to the stars, and God revealed that he's a God of the universe. He's not an idol. And so Abraham went into his dad's idol shop and with a sledgehammer busted every single idol in that shop. And then he looked at the big one up in front and he put the sledgehammer in the big one's hands. So that morning he got up with his dad and they walked over to the idol shop. And as they walked in the idol shop, of course, dad was just flipped out. He goes, son, look at what has happened. Look at what they did. Oh my gosh, who would have done this? Son, do you know anything about this? And he goes, the big guy did it. Look. You know, I think, come on. So Abraham was a heathen, but somehow God communicated to him. He called Abraham to be righteous. How did he do that? Well, he just said, Abraham, will you obey me? Notice verse 3. And he said unto him, get thee out. Leave your country. Believe what I'm telling you right now. Verse 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and he dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead. Okay, so he didn't leave until his father died. He removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. See, it took a while. Now, did Abraham, was he disobedient? Well, yeah, you could say he was disobedient because God said, go. And he didn't go. He said, I want to wait till dad dies. And sometimes we do that. I want to wait for this. I want to wait for that. So is God patient? Yeah, he just sits back. Okay, I'm going to wait. Is he dead? Oh, he's dead. Okay, are you going to do? Yeah, he's going to move out. So in other words, when God promises something, he's patient and he waits until we enter into the promise. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him when as yet he had no child. You know, I mean, this is a whole thing of faith, isn't it? God's promises. It's going to go to you and it's going to go to your children. And God spoke this wise that his seed should sojourn in a strange land and that they should bring them into bondage. Now we're talking about going into that strange land called Egypt where they would be brought into bondage and he would entreat evil 400 years. He would allow them to go through incredible slavery. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage to, I will judge, God says. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. So he's talking to the religious hierarchy. He's standing there surrounded by these guys. And he's given them this Bible study that is so powerful, anointed by God's Spirit to go like a two-edged sword into their heart and begin to cut them. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. See, these guys are following him every step because he's talking their language. He's talking what they understand. Circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him in the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. I like that last part. God was with him. So to the Jew, this is their history. Our fathers, they had respect for the dead. And they always, you know, they would go to the tomb to pray. And to them, going to the grave, to the tomb, was a holy thing. Because when you went to the tomb to pray, you became holy in doing that. And they looked to it as something very special. In Hebron, Abraham, the 12 sons, were buried. In Bethlehem, Rachel has her tomb there. In fact, women who can't have children go to Rachel's tomb and wail because they're infertile and they pray that God will give them a baby at Rachel's tomb. They touch the grave and, you know, the tomb and everything. And so in Jerusalem, Mount Zion, is David's tomb. That's where they believe that he ended up, there on Mount Zion. And the Jews pray there faithfully three times a day. And those Jews in that area will go there, and we've been there many times, and they're all praying. And as you walk in, and this is their way of holiness. This is their way of a relationship with God. Stephen, though, led by the Holy Spirit, reveals all about our fathers. And that's a very important little phrase there. Abraham was just a man. Being a descendant of him is not a spiritual experience. It's not. He's just a man. He was a pagan man. In fact, over in John chapter 8, verse 39, let me read it to you. He says, and he answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So Jesus is kind of rebuking them, saying, because they're saying, oh, he's our father. Well, then why aren't you doing what he did? And then down in verse 44, it says, you, Jesus said, looking at them, your father is the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Man, Jesus really let him have it, didn't he? You think they enjoyed that little rebuke? I mean, that was hitting home. That's why they said, we got to take care of this guy. We got to remove him because he's going around speaking like this. They couldn't stand it. So through faith in Christ, and this is what Abraham, he had faith in God. He stepped out. He stepped into the promise. He came to the land. Came to that land that God promised and made Abraham the father of the Jewish faith. What's Jew mean? Jew is just someone who is joyful in the Lord. A Jew is full of joy because they have a relationship with God. That's it. That's a Jew. You know, a lot of people think, well, God created Jews and Gentiles. Well, yeah, he did create them, but they began in the beginning with Abraham, who was a pagan. And God just made him a Jew, joyful in a relationship with God through his faith in his God. That's how it all began. And so he's giving them things that they don't really study that much, things that they didn't pick up on as they were going through their daily readings.
When we treat our walk with God like something we can maintain on autopilot instead of walking by faith, we soon discover we're not in fellowship with the Lord. Faith is dynamic, and God calls us to continually abide in Him by faith. May the Lord help you to shed those areas that become habitual, religious, and rut-oriented in your walk with Him so that you too can continue that fellowship and walk by faith, inheriting His promises for your life. And if the Lord's encouraged you in our time in the Word and you'd like to have your very own copy of the study, feel free to give us a call at 1-800-353-7553. And when you do, please make mention of the study name, which is Resisting Change Part 2. Also mention the study number, which is 17320. Or if you like, you can go online and order from our Sound Doctrine Radio website. The web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. We'd also invite you to take a look at our Sound Doctrine Radio website for a multitude of other studies and study aids in your time in the Word. From Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, Pastor Jeff has been sharing God's Word in length and depth. There at sounddoctrineradio.com, he also offers a broad range of topical studies for everything we experience in the Christian life. Marriage and the family, spiritual warfare, and so much more. That web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. Sound Doctrine is a ministry of Calvary Chapel of Downey. It's supported by generous listeners like you. If you'd like to be a part of this outreach ministry touching lives for the kingdom, go to sounddoctrineradio.org and click on the donate button. When you do, God will use your resources to further God's kingdom and making disciples through sound doctrine. Sometimes when we pray, we're not sure if it's effective. Yet, your God in heaven answers the prayers that you've offered. Prayers of blessing for your own life and for others. He only asks for one thing in return. Are you willing to surrender yourselves absolutely into His hands? Legendary author and Bible teacher Andrew Murray provides wise counsel that will enable you to take a giant step closer to God as you begin your journey into perfect peace and trust. Discover the joys of absolute surrender to our loving Father today. And it's available for a suggested donation of $8, which includes shipping and handling. Simply call us at 1-800-353-7553 or go to our radio website. The address is sounddoctrineradio.org. And allow God to show you the blessings and effectiveness of a rich prayer life that comes from absolute surrender. May your heart, mind, and entire life be so built on sound doctrine, you're filled with God's Spirit overflowing with His love and convictions from His Word.
Lord, your Word is truth. Give me understanding. Give me understanding.